wherein I was being asked questions, and I couldn't imagine it would matter what the questions were. The whole situation was unpleasant because somebody was going to be questioning you about your culpability in something, and you were going to have to give answers. Whether you were, at that age for me, whether you were the one responsible or not, really didn't seem to ease the tension much when you're in a situation like that. But there have been other times where the questions have been very good questions, questions that you enjoy answering and enjoy talking about. When somebody asks you about your children or asks you about your grandchildren, then it provides great opportunity to share and to talk. And I want us to look at a few questions this morning that I think fall into the category that we first mentioned, not because the tension is there because there is a great fear, but because there are questions that are coming from Jesus himself. And that's what we want to look at this morning, talking about being questioned by Jesus. And we're actually going to, if the Lord permits us to, talk about this over a period of various weeks. It's not a series where we will need to do back-to-back or anything of that sort, but I started going through and just looking at some of the conversations that Jesus had, in part preparing for a series that I'm supposed to be doing that is an extension of some things that we did a couple of years ago when I was in a lectureship, where the topic was parables Jesus taught, people Jesus touched, and made for an interesting topic for me. I had the people Jesus touched, and looking at people that he came in contact with on a daily basis and things that he said. And I got to thinking about that. What would you feel like if you were sitting there or standing there and the Lord of hosts, the Son of God, the chosen one, had a question for you? I just want us to read a couple of these questions this morning, two of them that actually we'll read more questions than two, but two categories really of these questions that Jesus asked. And I think he says we need to answer them. All of us need to answer them in our lives. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. I'll project these questions as well, but sometimes the context will be a little more full than the question I'm projecting if you wish to turn to those passages. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus is talking about understanding who people are. And he says the way you do that is by looking at what matters to them and what is a part of their life. And in that discussion, he says you will recognize them by their fruits, and then ask the question, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now, if that was just a question about some aspect of horticulture, then you wouldn't have a real problem answering that. If all he really wanted to know was the answer to that question, that'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? But he was implying something by that question, as he did in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? Why do you address me that way? Why do you refer to me as Lord? He's not wanting an explanation of why they're not doing. He's trying to convict them and convince them to do what their words say that they should be doing. So he says, if you're going to call me Lord, then do what I ask you to do. In Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31, Jesus has a discussion wherein he's going to raise a couple of questions. And he's going to be talking about a couple of boys. And he's going to say, what do you think? He says, just stop for a second. I want you to listen to the story I'm going to tell you. He says, what do you think? A man had a couple of sons. And he gave the couple of sons something to do. And as he gave the couple of sons something to do, they responded to him differently from one another. One of them, similar to the passage that we just read in Luke chapter 6, said, "I'll do exactly what you're asking me to do, Father." In other words, he said, "Lord," but he didn't do what he was asked to do. It says he said he would do what he was going to be, or what he was supposed to do, but then he went on his way and he didn't do that. The other boy responded, "I'm not going to do what I've been asked to do." But then he went on his way and he changed his mind and he actually did what he had been asked to do. So Jesus follows the story up with a second question. They really go together. He's just saying, "What do you think? Which of the two did what his father wanted?" Well, that's an easy answer. They gave an answer. That isn't really what Jesus was trying to get, was just the answer. There's an indictment with each of those questions on the part of Jesus. And he's saying that's similar to a parent, and maybe you've had this discussion with your child, or maybe your parent had this discussion with you. But I remember being sat down on an occasion and being asked a question like, "How do you think you should behave?" Well, they didn't really want me to answer that question. That wasn't the issue. That question, they did want me to understand, but the question was really to help me understand that that's the way you should have done it then. There's an implication that goes with that, and that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, we need to evaluate something in our lives and make sure that we're evaluating it on the right basis. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 36, another question in the same vein as all of these questions. Jesus tells this incredible story about this man falling among thieves, the story that we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he says this man, he fell among thieves and he was beaten and he was left for dead. And he said, there come these three men. The priest comes and he crosses by on the other side of the street and he's doing his best not to look. And he makes it on by. He says, and then comes a Levite and he does the same thing. He's crossed to the other side of the street and he's doing his best to shield himself from that sight. He doesn't really want to see the sight, not because the sight itself is grotesque, but because the sight itself requires some kind of action. And he walks by and makes it to his destination. And then that third man comes, the Samaritan, and he provides help. Well, Jesus didn't ask a question that he really wanted an answer for. It wasn't just that they would intellectually grasp something, but he said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? Well, they knew which one it was, but the point was what? In all of the cases, Jesus' point was, so explain to me how you can know the answer and not do what the answer requires. They all knew the answer to every one of the questions, as do we many times. It isn't an issue of understanding the answer as much as it is as whether or not we're willing to follow through on the implication of the answer that we understand. And so all of these questions have a point. Jesus is asking, are you good? Are you good? Now, I give especially the kids, I give a lot of grief when I happen to ask them a question. How are you? They say, I'm good. And so we talk about the difference between adjectives and adverbs and how they ought to be used in a sentence. And good really refers more to what you are doing than it does to how you feel. Well is normally how we would respond. But Jesus isn't asking these people, are you well? Although that would be a legitimate question also. Are you spiritually healthy? They probably were not. But he's saying, are you good? He's saying, look at your life and determine whether or not you are doing what you know needs to be done. Whatever the case may be. He says we need to always evaluate life with an understanding that our actions speak louder than words. How many times have you heard that in life? And Jesus is saying that if we're a people or an individual who says that the Lord God is worthy of 100% of my heart and my mind and my spirit when I worship him. He says, we know that that's what he says. We can certainly quote from Mark 12 and other places where we're told, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. So if I acknowledge that's the answer to the question, he says, are we making sure that everything I'm giving him fulfills that? That when I pray, that's the way I pray to my God. And when I sing, and when I'm involved in any aspect of worship to my God. When I think in terms of my responsibility to my family. And I know as a husband that he says, husband, love your wives, or wife as Christ loved the church. I know that's what it says. He says, am I doing that? It would be very easy for me at different points of my life to feel very indicted by Jesus if he were sitting in front of me and he says, why do you say I'm the Lord and you're still not doing what I've asked you to do? Maybe it's the relationship that I have with my children, or maybe it's the relationship that children have with the parents, or husbands to wives, or brother to brother, or brother to sister, or how I'm supposed to be behaving at work. As a Christian, you see the point? Jesus could ask the question in any scenario in life, and it's always the same. He says, when you're at work, how are you supposed to work? You work as if you are serving the Lord. So it wouldn't matter what aspect of life he's asking us to evaluate. He's just saying, are you good? Are you doing what I have asked you to do? It's not that I am good to the point of earning something. The question is, am I doing what I have been asked to do? Am I good? Colossians chapter 3 and 4. Almost their entirety, for certain, all of 3 and the first part of 4, is dealing with this very concept, that it is all about a life that is saying, how do I put into action whatever it is? I know he says I should read and know his word. He says, are you doing what you know to do? You see how it doesn't make any difference where the question comes out. Starting in chapter 3, the whole point is, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. He said it's a new life. And then where does he go from there? He talks about, so put to death all the members of your body, all the fornication, all the things that are evil, all the things that are sinful. Do away with lying and do away with all of those other things that are wrong. He goes on to say that we need to put on this new man, and we need to have a certain character that's associated with the new man, and wives need to behave a certain way, and husbands need to behave a certain way, and parents need to behave a certain way, and children need to behave a certain way, and slaves need to behave a certain way, and owners of slaves need to behave a certain way. He just starts going through life and just saying, if Christ is our Lord, he just wants to ask us a question. Are you good? Are you doing what I've asked you to do? But I think he asks us other questions that go along with that help us to refine that even a little bit more. And I remember having this discussion with my children and hearing others have this discussion as well. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, Jesus is going to pose another question. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So what is that question? He's saying, what have you done if you do like most people do? If you respond like most people respond, being friendly to those that are friendly or helping those that would help you in return. He says, what have we actually done in all of that? Because we know there are passages where Jesus tells us things like in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to love those that are our enemies. Act of goodwill toward them, not just withholding animosity, but it's an act of goodwill. That's the same exact scenario that is described when it talks about in Romans that God, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. That's the whole point of that. He says we need to love our enemies. And so there's a point to that question as well. Point to that question is, how good are you? How good are you? What is it that he's asking us to do compared to what we're asked to do before we are his? I got to thinking about that in regards to any of the things that we try to plan for our spiritual well-being, for the goals that we set, any of those kinds of things. And I think Jesus is asking me two questions here, for me anyway, and I hope you see the same two questions in your life. He says, Mark, first off, are you good? You need to look at your life and understand whether or not you're doing what I'm asking you to do. And that's a broad, broad question or idea, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot that he's told me to do. As I've mentioned, in how many different relationships, what I'm to do as a husband, and what I'm to do as a father, and what I'm to do as a friend, and what I'm to do as a preacher, what I'm to do as a teacher, what I'm to do as a brother physically to some, what am I to do as a brother spiritually to others. I mean, he's got a whole host of things that I have to evaluate. Am I good? In the sense of, am I doing good? Because that's what Jesus did. By following his Father's will, he was described as going about doing good. That's what good is, what God has asked me to do. But as is typical of me anyway, I make wrong comparisons sometimes. And so Jesus asked a follow-up question and says, how good are you? Are you good compared to other people that you're looking at? Or are you good the way that he asked you to be good? He said, if you're doing good and doing good things for the people around you, and those people normally reciprocate, he said, really, you're not doing anything that anybody else wouldn't do. You're in a different group than they are, but you're doing the same thing that they would do. He says, I'm asking you to go above and beyond. And that's the Christianity, I think, that he seeks for us. Jesus' life was not a life of just doing. It was of excelling in the will of God. And I think that's what he looks for, or looks for from each of us. What does he want from me? He wants me to have a life that is above and beyond. Who am I interested in? Who matters to me? He says, actions speak louder than words. Now, there's a point behind all of this point as well. And I hesitate because this was the lesson that was already intended for today, and with intent, it was intended for today. As we think about the people that are lost around us, how interested are we truly in the lost is what Jesus is asking me. He's saying, you can say you love the lost. You can say that they matter and that reaching out to the world with salvation is important. But to me, he's going to keep coming back and saying, why do you say Lord and you don't do what you know you need to do? That's only one area of life. But he is saying, if we're good and how good we are will always be determined by where our interest, where our focus, where our actions are. Now, I said I hesitated to use this lesson today and mention that specifically today because group one of the e-groups is supposed to be meeting this afternoon. That is presently highly in question just because of the way that I am feeling with the cold and all that has gone with that and coming off of the funeral and the memorial service and such. So I don't want it to lose its effect on me first and hopefully on any of us, whether we're able to do that or not today. I want us to think in terms of what we want to show the world. What we want to show the world is what matters to us. And the way that we do that are through demonstrating it in our actions to those that are around us. We've been spending time in 1 John with John saying, I can tell you how to know whether or not you are who you say you are. He says, do you love the way that God loves? Are you demonstrating that? Are you living the way that God says to live? Are you demonstrating that? Do you truly believe that he is who he says he is, the Lord of all? Are you demonstrating that? Are you good? How good are you? Actions speak louder than words. If you're not a Christian, it would be our desire that you would make that right with God today. If you never heard what is required to have a relationship with God, then sit down with us and talk to us so we can show you from his word what he says. But if you already know that, if you already want to be baptized into that relationship so that you can, as we read in Colossians 3, be raised with Jesus Christ, we pray that you take care of that today and start a life of being good, serving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. For those of us that are already his, may we understand that that question will never leave. No matter how badly and how strongly I try to do better on that question today, the question is still there tomorrow, and I think my Lord is saying, I think you can still excel a little bit more at serving me if that's what you strive to do. May we strive for excellence in our service to our God. If we can help you somehow today, let us know while we stand.